15 to 20 million
jobs. I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area, and also serving the entire world on the internet. All you have to do is go on the front page of our ad and go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. We have a great ad page on the front I want you to take a look at. Larkin Connolly, who is the Eastern Regional Vice President of SCORE Association. And in studio, we have a historic visitor with us, and that is Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And of course, I'm going to let them really go wild today. And with us online is Mark Andel, the very famous Mark Andel, who has done so much to bring attention to the fact that we need American-made products here in the USA. We're going to be talking a lot about that stuff today. We have some guests coming in today. As always, go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here at 860 AM. And of course, if they live at a distance, this is really where we have a tremendous amount of growing people. If they live at a distance, I want you to email them and say, go on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Today I have Larkin, Rich in studio, and Mark online. I am going to ask Larkin to start us off today.
Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome Rich up here from the sunny state of Florida. It's great to have him around. I got to tell you something, though. I'm absolutely amazed. He really doesn't sweat much for a fat guy. It kind of throws me off a little bit.
I mean, 70 degrees is cold for me, Larkin. So what happens when you become a Floridian?
Yeah, exactly.
Amongst some other things, borderline illegal, but 70 is cold for us. I'm very happy to be up. Thank you.
Welcome.
You know, gentlemen, last week, Mark and I, we had the M&M show last week, and we did our very best to mark the 227th anniversary of the great U.S. Constitution. And Mark and I talked about the importance of voting, and I'm going to mention some of that today, because in our own effort, by the way, I'm really pleased to say, we will be reaching about 1,000 handout ballots. It's like a registration form where you hand out to family and friends, or you take it for yourself to register. Now, I'm hoping I gave out many more, but at least 1,000 of them signed up in the Philadelphia proper. And of course, that application is good statewide. Now, I did notice in my conversation with someone that they spoke a lot about registering themselves as independent. And as I talked to them, they said, well, I said, you won't be able to, go out and vote in the primary. And they said, well, Michael, listening to you, why can't we get that changed? So maybe we're going to talk with that issue with our special guest as time goes on. Mark, how are you doing? How is the second half of the M&M show?
Outstanding. Guys, I miss you down there. You got. I hope you have beverage at the table, and I hope everything's going well. But no, up here we've been, still fighting the fight, and buses have been coming, and people have been stopping at the store. We're excited because the fourth quarter is coming up. This October, November, December is always the best time of year for both my businesses. But people, I think they're accepting the change. They're realizing they've got some power, and buying American makes sense. I love the feeling lately, Mike, and, they're just really into it. And to me, the movement seems stronger than ever.
It is. It is. Everywhere I go, people are feeling very good about what's happening. If we can just get our business people to react to what's happening. Something that I have to bring up to you guys, which I'm going to ask all of you to respond, is as we hear in the news, many foreign countries are coming over here to buy up businesses or to open businesses. And people say, well, they're going to be taking over America. I said, well, it's no different than we did in other countries over the years, putting our facilities over there. Now they want to come back over here. And that is for one reason, Mark, and it's our campaign. It is so that they can have a Made in the USA label.
Well, you know, Michael, first of all, it's extremely important to everybody in the world to engage themselves in the largest consumer economy in the universe, and that's ours. I mean, we dwarf any other two continents, for Lord's sake, added together. So they want to come over. That also is a very legitimate remark. If you remember the Marshall Plan, I wasn't around, you were, but if you remember the Marshall Plan, you know, they actually, that's exactly what we did. I mean, we went in to Europe and took charge, spent an awful lot of money and you know, and rebuilt the continent. It's a little bit different now, though. They're not rebuilding our continent. They're coming over to engage in a part of our, you know, of our economy. What irritates me is not when they have businesses, because I can make a choice whether I want to buy from them or not. I still have the freedom of that choice. What irritates me is when they own the 600 block of, you know, Market Street and all of the office buildings and, you know, they, I don't think any nation in the world allows foreigners to buy a physical plant. Maybe I'm completely wrong here. But if they do, then that's their problem.
Well, one
I
of
just
the things, Larkin, that's really very interesting is some of the businesses from overseas are coming to the USA because they see the movement by the American people to say, I want to buy more American made. So as people look at the label, they don't really have to know that it's owned foreign, which is the same thing that happened. We went overseas and it was owned foreign. We sold foreign. I mean, in the 70s and 80s in America, I mean, our waterfronts were just loaded with ships leaving here for foreign destinations, taking all products that were manufactured in the USA. They're doing it here now. Additionally, some of the people say that it's cheaper for them to open in America. The quality is good. The shipping expense is less. And of course, it's really made in the USA.
Well, this is, Michael, why we have essentially commercially and economically open borders. And the film, Mark, you were in talks about this. Talks about just quite how free our market is. What I would pose to incumbents, candidates, all of whom are running right now, is do they understand what exactly has happened over the decades where outsourcing's occurred, inversions occur, foreign investment comes in? Why is there not investment from within? And I would ask these men and women these questions. And when I've heard the answers, in oftentimes in many elections, I will tell you they don't, in campaigns, I will tell you they don't really know.
They don't add up.
They don't really know. And if you don't know exactly why or have a sense of why these things have occurred, it's virtually impossible to really remedy it. You have no idea where to look. You have no idea what direction to go in.
Well, we like the 50-50 balance. That seems to be getting a lot of attention these days. And in fact, I noticed that even on some of our the television programs on the CNN and Fox, they are talking about how people are looking, spending more of their dollars. Of course, in some situations, they have less to spend, so they want to spend it on companies where their brothers, sisters, and neighbors are working. So it's become a little bit of a we're rah, rah, rah for America, but we should have never reached this point, and that's the thing that's disappointing to most people.
You know, Mark talks about it all the time. You don't want to restrict free trade. That's not the point here. We want world trade. We want free trade because we want to send as much as we bring in is the question. And that's what Mark pushes. Mark is saying we need to make these things in America.
You know, Henry said something to me about a year and a half ago. He said, you know, Michael, we should have a rule in the USA that every company that outsources should have at least an equal insourced company to do manufacturing here in the USA, not only to be a company that's sending everything in after our labor force is going. Now, some of the people also tell me that they lost their jobs mainly because the expenses got too high, the demands became too high, and they became unrealistic for us to be able to put a product on the street for $30 when you could get it from a foreign merchandiser for two and a half.
But, Mike, let's talk about quality, because, again, we lead with quality. Generally, a made-in-America product is quality. One thing that low-cost, cheap goods is never associated with ever is high wages.
Absolutely.
Right?
I agree.
That's right. That's stuff that's being produced in China. They're not paying those guys
$38
a month.
Never.
Or $38 a day or an hour. They're paying them $38 a month.
You know what was really a good thing that someone said to me about 2 weeks ago, and I cracked up as I drive past all these big storage places where you rent so much to store. Well, our houses in the Northeast Philadelphia have closets so big. In other words, when the houses were built, people had basics in clothes. Now they have so much clothes that they have to take their winter stuff and put it in a storage, pay for a storage place, then switch the summer into the winter storage place because they have too much stuff.
Mark, maybe our listeners can correct me on this. To my knowledge, I have never heard a CEO who has in part sent labor and jobs overseas say, we're moving to XYZ country because the quality of product that will come back will be better than an American-made good. To my knowledge, I have never heard that. A CEO who would say it would, I mean, it'd be pretty nuts to say it.
Right.
Those aren't
You're
the
right.
reasons that are given. You know the reasons, Mark, because we talked about it in the film.
Absolutely.
The auto industry is really the only place where I find this country continually challenged. And that's because there are BMWs and there are Audis and there are Mercedes-Benz, and they are fine, fine automobiles.
It's funny you bring up Mercedes, Larkin. I've got a Mercedes van in our shop today. We're retrofitting and putting a liftgate on the back and whatnot. But like you said, it's a beautiful piece of equipment. You know, I couldn't say it's not. It's top of the line. They thought of people upfitting it, which we do. So there is quality goods out there. But generally in our country, when you talk about the, I always said the China crap and whatnot, you know, again, it's never associated with high raises or wages. They just went from this country more for greed, but because of the profit margins and what they could make.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a friend of mine bought a Mercedes-Benz for his wife, the two-seater convertible. The front area where the engine is, that cavity in the front of the car, is the size of my Impala. I've never seen anything that big. Sure. She said, I got to take you for a ride. And I said, I can't wait. So I jumped in the car. And we're talking, and I said, come on, let's go start the engine. And he said, I started the engine 5 minutes ago. It's just what a piece of machinery it is. I mean, you got to applaud the Germans. They know how to build a car.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Michael, I'll tell you guys about a car. My wife and I just recently leased a car, and people are asking, oh, what'd you get? And I say, oh, you guys know Maserati? Yeah, I didn't lease that car. So what I have now is we have a Jeep. And Jeep is Daimler Chrysler. Red-blooded, kind of American, though.
Yeah.
It's not really. You're fully American.
Mostly.
Right? But it's got parts that there is, Michael, some balance in there.
Well, that's why
where
I
we
say
have some
50-50 balance. If any product is 50-50, that's why I'm always promoting made or assembled here in the USA. We have to give, you know, some credit to the assembly lines, too. Many people tell me I work for a company where we assemble stuff that comes from 7 or 8 different countries. I said, fine, as long as our people here are employed. Now, how do we get a label that says assembled in the USA? I mean, some of them have it, but not all. That's the big question. Mark, have you seen it? You're the expert at this.
Yeah, we do. You know, you see assembled in USA with foreign parts and different things. Again, I always wanted, like my welding gas bottles, the percentage of product and where it's from on that tag, just a little bit more. But I thank God that there is a tag that says where it's from, because otherwise it'd be very tough to do what I do and to do what we all do, and what we promote is to take a look. You know, we raise awareness and take a look at what you're buying, but there's a lot of fraud out there. But I'd love to see a percentage of, 40% made in USA, 60, which Mike and, you know, staff here, we all agree with is better than not any.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, Mark, the other thing, too, is that we're going to talk a lot about elections, guys, coming up, right, in the next month-ish, month and a half. And as business people, we're always looking for new opportunities. And it's just such an opportune time to combine the Made in America movement with our elections. We're more attuned to what candidates may or may not be saying about this issue. And to me, like most things in the United States, to me, most issues are political issues, including this one. There's at least some political aspect to this because of lawmaking and policymaking, taxation, these kinds of things. So when we're listening to what men and women are saying on the campaign trail, and they may or may not be saying anything, then we need to ask, well, how important of an issue really is this to elected officials? And I don't doubt that they at least think about it, but afterthoughts is not what we're striving for. Nor do I think that our election should be dictated by single issues. But I think, Mark, right now we're in a great time coming up to combine where I see we can enact real reform and change with our wallets and in the voting booths.
Yeah, I love what you said, because they should wave that banner, Made in America. It not only helps the economy, it brings people together, it gives them purpose, it gives them drive, ambition, you know, rebuilding that American dream, that can-do spirit. There's so much tied to the Made in America movement than that meets the eye, you know, up close. So that's what it can do. It has a lot of power.
And as I'll tell you, Mark, and you may see that in your own store, and I hope that when you go out to the mall, you can even ask some of the people there, how are they hearing from the people? Because if people see American-made items, a little tag or a little promo that this is made in America, you will see the Americans now going over to look at that product to see what quality it is, where it's made. That's what's happening in a lot of our stores. Now, some of the stores are saying that they're having hard times because they don't have enough American-made products, and people are going into the stores. First of all, people don't have the money to spend. And if they're going to spend a couple bucks, they want to start getting those dollars into the pockets of the people who are working here in the USA. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, we've got so many things rolling for the movement for this fall. Besides your month, Mike, with the, you know, the Buy American November, outstanding. The movie crew wants to have a screening in every one of the 50 states, so that's an initiative. You'll be helping launch that, Mike. We've got the movie being shown in schools. They won 5 states. And we've got a gift package box with John Rathenberger we're working on. But this movement, I just think this fall is so important. Like you said, Rich, tying with elections and the feeling of the people for the middle class growth, too. I just think it's an awesome time for us really to nail this fourth quarter.
Yes. So in my new capacity, Mark, I have 17, 15, I've counted them 4 times, and I think come up with 4 different answers, but it's in the teens, states in the Northeast, and I would love to accept the responsibility of beyond Pennsylvania, where you have Michael, and in Florida, where you have Rich. I'd love to work on those other 12 or 14 states that I have to get that movie aired, because I took it to the beach the other day when I had our big chill weekend, and I waited for the opportune moment, and it started at about 9 o'clock at night. And as you know, when you're over 65 at 9 o'clock, one eye automatically shuts, and your attention span turns into that of a tsetse fly. But they had all had enough wine and vodka that I got their attention. I said, I want you to sit down and watch this. And much to their disagreement, especially the wives, they wanted to sit in the corner and continue to talk, and I kept on shushing them like a movie usher. Excuse me. And 15 minutes into that movie, they were all staring at that screen with their mouth hanging open.
Is that right?
Yep, absolutely. And especially the part about Detroit. One guy was born in Detroit, and it
hits close to home.
Oh, it does. There, I don't think there's any question of that, and it makes the Made in America movement that much more easy to sell, to promote, because it, you know, I just have people that come up to me that Michael and I've invited to the movie theater, and they still know me only as the guy that was standing next to Bleehosh in the movie theater when we, and it was a packed house, as you know, and they, you know. Julius Webb, a very good client of mine and a good friend, makes reference to that movie in the most bizarre places. But it truly, truly had an effect on him everybody I've ever shown it to.
You know, Mark, that's a very good plan. Let's see what we can do during the month of November to have that as as many places as possible. Larkin, maybe you should ask all SCORE groups to host it in their area.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, with Chris Harvey, who's doing the screening process, but this new initiative, the 50-state campaign, that, you know, each person, it might be a vendor of ours or whoever, wins the free rights to screen the movie, and then they kind of throw the party for it. This is going to be coming out real soon, so I'll keep you guys informed. But I think it's a great great initiative that we can really make a difference and to get people to see that movie. Well, I just had an Olean Bosie's teacher call me. Now, Olean's about an hour from where I sit. And I guess at the fair I had given him a copy. I had forgot. But he called me, and he said he was pleasantly surprised when he showed the movie. And I said, how did you get the movie? You gave it to me. And he said, my kids stayed and watched it. And he said they never do. He, you know, he teaches 11th, 12th grade. And he was impressed that they related to it because of my story, Mary's story, and just what it stood for. So that was impressive. Like you said, you know, if you can get the horse, you know, if you can get the people or, you know, the horse to water and watch, make them watch it, that's always been our challenge, because the movie does change people once they see it.
Once they see it.
No, but the opening 3 to 5 minutes just absolutely grab you. I mean, it truly does. When that part about Detroit and those pictures of Detroit and the former steel worker, I mean, I'm telling you, people just stare at it, you know, agape. You know, we have 350 chapters in SCORE. We're in every state in the union, every capital, including Alaska and Hawaii. I would love to get SCORE Association behind this. I would love to. And I
that might be
think excellent. If I show this to Ken Yancey and Jerry Glenn, our CEO and our chairman of the board, they'll jump on board, I promise you. I only have 2 pirated copies. You're not supposed to know that. I have two pirated copies, and they're going out to my 2 other co-hosts who are going to watch the movie. Just them are going to watch the movie in order to get their minds in the right place for your little talk on the 11th of November.
Excellent.
And I'm so fired up.
What a wonderful day, the 11th of November. Oh, Mark, especially knowing how you are for the veterans and all. Whoa.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yep. And I don't know whether you agree with this or not, but Logis will be sitting in the audience.
Excellent.
Eating another free meal.
Look, I'm a Floridian. We don't want to pay for anything.
Yeah, dinner's got to be
those alligators.
Yeah, it's Florida, and so I have to tell you, Mark, dinner's at 3:30.
Gentlemen, we have to take a little bit of a pause, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Want products and services specifically made in America? Download the Go4USA mobile app today, and you can have all the Made in America products in the palm of your hand. For simply 99 cents, you can download this great app from the iTunes Store and help bring jobs back to the USA. We encourage you to become a member of their mobile army. Joining is as simple as downloading the app and uploading the retail locations of American-made products near you. Show your support by wearing one of their custom Go4USA mobile army t-shirts or dog tags. Retailers and manufacturers even use this app to promote UPC-based Made in America products they make or sell. Go4USA is offering free downloads on Labor Day weekend as well as Columbus Day weekend. Start uploading today and become a proud member of the Go4USA mobile army. Contact go4madeinamerica.com to find out more information. Pat's Auto Tags invites you to stop into one of their convenient locations for any of your needs. From DMV to fishing and boating licenses, notary and insurance, Pat's has you covered. Pat's Auto Tags is an approved PennDOT online messenger center. They also have instant online access to Harrisburg at their main location located at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in Fort Richmond. You can also stop into one of their other locations at Sanger Streets and Harbison Avenue, or C Street and Allegheny Avenue, where you can speak with insurance agent Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. Stop in or visit them online at patsautotags.com. Sonia Kaminsky-Breccia welcomes you to stop in and visit her at Nationwide's Ott & Associates agency located at 7967 Castor Avenue in Philadelphia. Sonia can handle any of your notary, licensing, and registration needs. Call Sonia today at 215-722-6020 or stop into their office and let her know you heard about her on this show. The Tri-State Media Network is an advertising service promoting businesses throughout the Tri-State region and beyond. Check them out today at tristatemedianetwork.com or like them on Facebook by searching Tri-State Media Network. Advertising your business is as simple as making a phone call. With low rates and a large audience, your business is sure to be seen and heard all over the area. Call one of their account managers today at 215-829-9200 or you can visit tristatemedianetwork.com.
And the next portion of our broadcast is also being presented by the Polish National Alliance, America's largest national ethnic fraternal life insurance organizations with representatives across the USA. And Mr. Frank Spula reminds all of you to check your insurance plans, your life insurance plans, and reminds you don't leave Earth without a life insurance plan. And also for a great smile, remember Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn and Evers Dental. They're located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Also, for your home, auto, and life insurance needs, call State Farm Insurance. In fact, call Karen Janod at State Farm, 215-862-5490. And Yolanda Konopatska, the Scipio attorney at law, represents the clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. She welcomes you to give her a buzz at 215-423-4824. And Mr. Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings Bank, reminds you that they have five locations in Philadelphia, and they welcome you to give them a call anytime at 215-698-9400. And in fact, when you stop at Washington Savings Bank, make sure you let them know that you hear about them during our seven-day-a-week broadcast here on 860. And when you're out shopping in the frozen food aisle or in your specialty aisles with all the great mushrooms, I encourage you to look for Giorgio products, a symbol of quality since 1928. And if you're about to do some traveling, remember, Polish American Travel Service is located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia, where you can give them a call at 215-634-3396. And also, Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. Stop by and see for yourself the great selection of products they have to offer you. Well, I'm very pleased to return to our broadcast, and I see that the very well-known Ed Pawlowski from the city of Allentown is on board with us. And Mayor Ed, how is everything? I've been hearing so much about you. You opened up your brand new stadium. I saw it here on local Philadelphia news, and I saw your smiling face escorting guests around. And I understand that Larkin will be visiting with you today.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It really is. I mean, we had two great opening events. We start hockey this weekend. We have Rascal Flatts, which is another concert on Friday. So far, we've had 40,000 people go through. It's been fantastic.
It looks like a great stadium.
It is the best minor league stadium in the country by far. It is a major league stadium in a minor league market. I'm telling you, for concerts, sports events, there's no reason to go anyplace else because I think it's the nicest stadium around.
Well, you know what? You know what, Mayor Ed, I may have to encourage you to maybe bring up a few bands from Philadelphia. Maybe Henry Chaplinsky and Spin could go up there and do a great fundraiser for us up in the good city of Allentown and see what this stadium is all about. We can all go wild.
We had the Eagles play. That was the opening act, and then they went to Madison Square Garden after that. We had Tom Petty and Steve Winwood two nights later. We were supposed to have Cher, but she got sick. And the concerts were fantastic. The acoustics are great. I had lots of people from Philly that were up here for those concerts. And And basically they said, listen, there's no reason to go to Philadelphia anymore. I'm just coming to Allentown. It's a lot easier to get to. It's a beautiful venue.
That's great.
Beautiful. I love that.
I've been civic, Mr. Mayor, this is Larkin Connolly. How are you?
Larkin, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I've been civically involved since my 25th birthday, I think maybe even a little bit earlier than that. And next to promoting small businesses and helping them grow and you know, building a vibrant community that way, what you've done in the last 4 months is exactly what every American city needs to do, and that's to step up to the plate and create a culture that makes a city a livable place and wants everybody to, you know, to come out of the house and guess what? Spend money and keep it all rolling.
Excellent. You know, yeah, May.
Absolutely. And, you know, the arena was just a catalyst, okay? A catalyst to get people back into the urban core. And the catalyst is working. You know, we have 6 new restaurants that opened up. They were all packed. You couldn't get reservations for the last, you know, basically 2 weeks. You got people coming back in and haven't been in the city for decades, you know, that are coming back in and re-experiencing the downtown, which is exactly what we wanted to happen. And you got new offices and new energy and new people investing, which hasn't happened for, you know, several decades here. So, you know, it was a catalyst to get people to come back in. And, you know, we want them to live, work, and play. And that play part is important for cities to thrive.
Mayor Ed, it's Rich here. First off, it's very rare that we get to talk about Cher on the show. That's awesome. And congratulations. You know what? It's highlighting something that I say all the time. If people want to get involved, local is as great a place as any to start. It's easy to talk about Congress. It's easy to talk about the presidency. Get involved in local. What goes on locally is going to impact so significantly the household. So all of our compliments here from the show.
Well, thanks. You know, it's interesting. I just saw this. You know, they have these TED reports that they do now where they're looking at certain innovations and so forth. And they had one just recently by a gentleman who wrote a book about cities. And his premise was, you know, if mayors ruled the world. And his whole premise was about that if you look at all the innovations in this country that are happening and where we're seeing some real innovation as far as government and where, you know, real development is starting to occur, it's all in cities. It's not at the state levels. It's not at the federal level. It's happening on the local level. In urban areas across the country. And I think he's right. You know, cities are really leading the way as far as discussion and looking at whether it's development or healthcare issues, you know, public health, whether it's, you know, whether it's childhood obesity or any other issue, whether it's, you know, the minimum wage issue. It's cities that are really leading the charge in you know, and pushing the envelope. And in many cases, forcing the states and forcing the federal government to have to take these issues up. And so I think you're right. I think it's really on the local level where people need to get involved because that's where differences in government are really being seen.
Yeah, you know, the common phrase is, you know, all politics are local. And it's so true. It's not real. So you mentioned the minimum wage. Do you have a position on that?
Yeah, I think we need to raise it.
I think there's total agreement there.
I mean, you know, I think we need to raise it. I mean, if you look at that, I've seen a number of studies, you know, done by both sides, conservative and liberal, you know, think tanks. Everybody really pretty much agrees that if you raise the minimum wage, what it will do is have, it, you know, a positive incremental impact on the economy as a whole. Yes, it'll cost some small businesses more, obviously, in labor, but you're going to have people that have more income to spend, and more than likely, they're going to spend it on those very same small businesses. So, you know, I think we haven't done it in years. It needs to be raised where it's criminal, you know, in where it's at right now, and I think it's just... It's way beyond its time in this country that we address this issue. That everybody seems, when you hear them on both sides of the aisle talk, they talk a lot about, you know, this rhetoric of raising the minimum wage, but then nothing ever gets done. I don't understand that.
Do you have a number? Do you have a number that you think is good? That it should be raised to?
You know, I mean, I the numbers that I've seen, you know, the studies that I've looked at have all hovered around the $12 range. And yes, you know, it looks like the incremental impact on the economy is all positive. And I've looked at studies from, you know, liberal think tanks and conservative think tanks. And, you know, so between the $10 and $12 range seems to be the range that everybody's focusing on.
Mayor Ed, let's not forget also, we talk about minimum wage. That's just another issue that could be changed and enacted at the local level. I tell people all the time, you want to wait for state, federal governments to do things? They may or may not. Locally, they can, though.
A lot of local municipalities are. You know, I mean, we're playing with the idea ourselves. A lot of the larger cities have already enacted that locally. And so, you know, again, it's cities that are sort of leading that charge, where the national government, you know, and the state governments are kind of sitting on their hands. So, I mean, I can go on issue after issue after issue, whether it's infrastructure or, you know, spending on infrastructure or making sure that, you know, you have proper regulation for things like pipelines and all that stuff. It's the local level that's driving that discussion.
Mayor Ed, this is Mark Andel from Buffalo, New York. How are you?
Good. Mark, good. How are you?
Good, good. You know, up here in Buffalo, we had a gentleman by the name of Terry Pegula that actually came from Pennsylvania and loves the Buffalo Sabres, so actually bought the team a couple of years ago now, and then building a brand-new arena addition with two ice rinks and bringing the hockey teams, and my twins played hockey their whole life. But you talk of what an arena or a stadium can do for a city, just like you said, what you're doing with yours. And Terry now is just about closed on the Buffalo Bills, saving the NFL team from leaving. So it's awesome what good people, but just what you talk about with Allentown, what you've done and caused people to come out their house, come back to the city, is kind of what Buffalo needs. And we're seeing a little of that on that local level that you're all discussing. So it absolutely works.
But you know what you have to do? You have to put those arenas and stadiums downtown.
Yes.
You know, that's what we did. We took some heat for it. You know, Philadelphia wanted to do that, and they stuck it on the outskirts of the city, and they're not seeing that economic impetus that they could have seen from having these, you know, these facilities downtown. The cities that are smart are putting them in their downtowns, and that's driving a lot of, you know, local economies, whether it's restaurants or office or others, you know, that want to be around those facilities.
It's
so
funny.
I think the days of sticking them out in the suburbs, should be over, because it doesn't have the same economic impact as it would in sticking it in one of the urban cores.
I think you're absolutely right. That's where Rich Stadium at one point, you know, the Buffalo Bills Stadium was outside 20 miles from the city. But like you said, get the people downtown, get them to, you know, go to the restaurants and support all that local economy and business right in that city. I think you're dead on.
Mayor Ed, how did you enjoy the debates the other day? Were you able to watch?
I did. It was interesting.
I think the governor was in front of a home team there. I mean, I think he was in his home stadium.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and for being in his home stadium, you know, I'd give him, I don't know. I mean, I thought the performance was at least, you know, a B. I don't know, you know, at this point, I think he's a dead man walking, you know, when you look at all the polls. The problem is this, is that you got to get people to turn out.
Right. Ed, I want to say this to you. I did watch the debate, too. And one of the things that I want to see in future debates is I want to see facts and figures. What is really going to be done? We can all throw innuendos. You should have done this. You should have done that. What is being done right now, and how are the American people able to make a decision come about with their vote?
Well, let me tell you what scares me, okay? I mean, you have all these polls coming out, Franklin and Marshall, and all these polls, Quinnipiac, saying, you know, Wolf is so far ahead. Now, that's positive for Wolf, but it's also a negative, because at the end of the day, Democrats, for the most part, are lazy. And in midterm elections, they don't come out and vote. And so my biggest fear in this election is that you have one person who everybody is saying is so far ahead that the Democrats will just sit back and say, well, you know what, the guy's 21 points up, so I don't need to go out and vote. Okay? And that scares me, because if Philadelphia doesn't turn out and vote, all right, there's no way for Tom Wolf to win this election in any way, shape, or form.
It does come down to Philadelphia. It really does.
It comes down to Philadelphia, and then it comes down to getting the other Democratic stronghold in the state to come out and vote, too. So they got to spend money in getting Allentown and Bethlehem to come out and vote. They got to spend money in getting Scranton and Wilkes-Barre and Erie and, you know, Pittsburgh to come out and vote. And, you know, traditionally it's tough. Now, polls can be deceiving, right? I mean, Senator Casey was up like 20-something points on a guy that I can't even remember his name anymore.
You know, if you put
a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you who the heck he was running against. But that got down within 5 points.
Yep.
You know, so anything can happen here. You know, I mean, I remember the morning call that a poll on me, my first election, said I was 20 points out a week out before the campaign. And I ended up winning by 20 points.
Yeah. Now,
which means they were 40 points off.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
I was down 20 and I won by 20. But so anything can happen. And it really comes out to getting out the vote. Now, I can tell you, my first election I ever ran, we spent a lot of effort getting out the vote. We actually increased the vote significantly. And that's how I won by 20 points, not lost by 20 points.
Right.
And so, you know, it all depends. Corbett's base is going to come out, and they're going to vote no matter what.
Yeah, and I think one of the problems he has, though, is that his base is eroded a little bit. I mean, there are a lot of guys in Harrisburg that are a lot of Republicans in Harrisburg that are kind of stepping to the side and not really attaching their name to.
Maybe so.
His wagon.
I can guarantee you they're still going to vote on election day.
Yeah, yeah, and you know
and
what?
They'll probably still pull the lever for him.
Mayor Ed, are you able to stay with us a little while? Because I have a special guest on, and I want to introduce him to all of you. His name is Nick Triano. He is running for the 10th Congressional District in the state of Pennsylvania. And Nick, how are you doing?
Hey, good to be back with you.
You're on today with Mayor Ed Pawlowski. And he is the great mayor of the city of Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I want you to make sure you get over to Allentown because he just opened up a beautiful stadium. In fact, Ed, I would like to make one suggestion before I turn it over to Nick. Maybe during November, are you going to have a meeting of all the mayors around? Maybe you could invite them to the stadium and show them how it should be done.
Well, actually, next year, the Pennsylvania Municipal League, which we had our statewide convention in Philly this year, is going to be up in Allentown in the stadium. So
wonderful. Wonderful. And you make sure you promote everything American made. And I'll try to make sure we have to make sure that all the mayors see the American made movie, because that's really something that we have to get the word out on. But Nick, sorry to hold back on introducing you. How is everything going with you?
Well, it's going excellent, and good to hear the mayor on the line. One development we've had in the campaign since we last spoke is that 21 mayors across the 10th District of Pennsylvania in the central and northeastern part of the state have endorsed my independent campaign. We had 13 Republicans and 8 Democrats, and it's really building some good momentum heading to Election Day, now less than 6 weeks away. This morning, we released a new poll that showed in a head-to-head matchup against incumbent Republican Congressman Tom Marino, I'm within the margin of error, just 5 points behind, with almost a third of voters still undecided. So this is a competitive race, and people surely have a viable opportunity to defeat politics as usual November 4th.
Mr. Mayor, can you give him some some sage words about what it is to only be 5 points down?
Yeah, work harder.
Got it.
Work like you're 50 points down.
Right.
Hey, Nick, this is Rich. Good morning. Thanks for being back on. You recently challenged Congressman Marino to debates. What was the response you got?
Well, we challenged Congressman Marino to a series of three debates before the election, which in my view is a reasonable request given the size of our district, especially because when he was running for Congress in 2010, he challenged the incumbent to nine debates. But unfortunately, the congressman hasn't accepted my challenge and keeps dodging it, despite the fact that now more than 500 people have signed a petition on my website, nicktriano.com/debate, to encourage him to participate, because the voters deserve to know where we each stand on the issues relative to each other. And he's been dodging any opportunity to be held accountable. And that's not just dodging these debates, but in his refusal to hold any publicly advertised forums, in controlling his so-called telephone town halls to screen who can ask questions. He's a congressman who is obviously running away from his record.
Nick, correct me if I'm wrong on this. Congressman Marino, as well as the Democratic nominee, both went unchallenged.
In their primaries, yes.
Respective primaries. Of course, we've talked about and you've talked about your challenges to get on the ballot, although you successfully overcame those. I want to ask you a question. I want to put you on the spot here for a moment for our listeners. I want you to tell our listeners, please, Nick, what is the worst case scenario for voting for you and you getting elected? Tell us what the worst case scenario is.
Please clarify what you mean.
Here's what I mean. You're going to hear things undoubtedly like you've heard. Well, Nick's a good guy. Nick's a smart guy. Nick's a motivated, ambitious guy. But he can't win. He doesn't have experience. Whatever the case may be. How do you answer those questions and concerns?
Well, we currently have the oldest and longest serving Congress in our history. And so therefore, we might also call it the most experienced. And it so happens that it's the least productive and most dysfunctional in our history. So if there is a correlation between age and experience and the kind of representation we're getting, it's in the opposite direction. I think we need some new blood and fresh ideas in our Congress. Currently, there is not a single member under the age of 30. And we need a new way of governing. I mean, right now, both parties care much more about what their party bosses are telling them and their campaign contributors and the people. And that's what my campaign stands for. You know, there are three candidates on the ballot this November, but voters really have two choices. One is the status quo of politics as usual, and the other is trying something new. And I think with Congress at a 9% approval rating, most voters are ready to try something new.
Very well said. You know, Nick, I want to ask you something. If I ask you, in your campaigning, how many of the people you meet are concerned about jobs in the USA?
But the jobs in the economy is the number one issue, especially among people who are seeing their congressmen, you know, vote against our safety net programs. I mean, whether that's food assistance or scholarships for college or so on and so forth, at the same time when our Congress is part of the reason why our economy is lagging behind. So people are very concerned about the number of jobs available, you know, seeing stagnant wages at the same time as prices of goods and services are increasing. And so there's a great squeeze going on. And, you know, when I've laid out my economic plan as one of four policy plans on my website, the first step is for our Congress to do no harm. You know, we need to get our own budget in order as a country and leave behind the kind of brinksmanship that is holding back business confidence and investment. You know, we need to take a hard look at the regulations that are on the books to support our free enterprise system. And as you know, you so strongly focus on, we need to you know, be a country that makes things again and has a strong manufacturing base. And my district also focus on supporting our agricultural industry too, which is experiencing severe hardship.
Now, Nick, you're 25 years old. You speak better than many of the congressmen who've been in there serving for 25 years. My thing to you is, in your brief life on this great earth, how have you seen things change within your own district as far as jobs are concerned, from a young boy till right now?
Well, I've certainly seen in the community in which I've grown up, which is Pike County, most people, or somewhere in the 40% range, have to leave the county to go find work elsewhere. We don't have the kind of infrastructure to support a lot of job creation locally. And so that's something that has persisted over time. And especially as younger families move into the area, more and more people have to leave, which has a negative impact on the kind of lifestyle and standard of living that people have if they're spending so much time just in a commute. So now, that's one thing that I'm very concerned about.
Now, one of the things I'm going to ask you is, do you see a vision for your own 10th district that could bring jobs back?
Absolutely. I'm going to be releasing sort of my 10th district economic plan in the next couple of weeks, which I'd love to discuss in further detail with you at that point. But one thing that I think we have to do in our approach to economic development is get away from the paternalistic development approach that we have right now, where every county and municipality is out on their own, and develop a more regional approach. You know, marketing first why it's a good idea to do business in America to a lot of the companies that are looking for the right place, and then sell, you know, why Pennsylvania is a good state and our region in Pennsylvania. And I think working in closer partnership and cooperation across the different counties would be a much better approach to attracting importing industry to our area.
Very good. We're focusing so much on the shale issue, but I think we should focus on 101 new other types of industries that can be restored in Pennsylvania. What do you think of that idea, Ed?
I mean, listen, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think the shale is here, and one of the things that no one's talking about is how do you utilize the gas, which is pretty prevalent up there where Nick is at, to encourage other industry as a way to attract industry to the state of Pennsylvania as a cheap power source. And the state has totally dropped the ball, and the federal government too, on this issue. You know, instead of saying, you know, to these drillers and these gas companies, you know, we have to provide this fuel, we have to use it to drive corporations into areas like Pike County that really don't have a lot of opportunities, as Nick stated, for folks to drive some corporations back in because of the cheap gas and the cheap fuel that gas can provide. I think we're missing the boat totally here in Pennsylvania because we don't regulate this, we don't tax it, and we don't utilize it to the benefit of these communities that are seeing the extraction burden but not seeing any benefit as far as other industries developing as a result of that extraction. So I don't know what Nick feels about that, but I think it's where we've totally missed the boat on utilizing this fuel to bring industry back into the state.
Absolutely.
Nick?
Well, I agree with the mayor. I think that's a key insight, is that if we're developing these natural gas resources, surely our communities ought to be benefiting from it. And part of the problem right now is that there's not enough infrastructure to get it to a lot of our communities, especially those more rural in nature. But that's something that ought to be a focus so that the people can benefit from this plentiful resource that's in our region.
Yes, because you know what's going to happen? We're going to have this resource, and instead of us using it here locally, we'll be selling it to other states or around the world. And that's
right.
Really counterproductive to what we want to do here in the state of Pennsylvania.
And, Mike, the same thing that happened to coal is going to happen to the gas. At some point, it's going to be gone, right? I mean, it's a pretty abundant source right now. But everybody probably thought that coal, which was driving a lot of those central counties in Pennsylvania and northeastern counties in Pennsylvania, was never going to come to an end. Well, it came to an end. And then you were left with, you know, industries that just didn't have the ability to provide, you know, the employment anymore because the coal industry dried up. And so the same thing will happen. So if we don't, I think Nick's right, if we don't utilize it to be able to attract these businesses in and then invest in other types of companies that could be utilized to provide ongoing employment after that gas extraction is gone, we will miss the boat again, and we will have history repeating itself again in Pennsylvania.
I just absolutely love this. I just heard an independent for Congress talk to a mayor of one of the third largest city in Pennsylvania. Two opposite parties, a Dem and you guys disagreed. You just agreed with each other.
If he could
bring that to Congress, then that'll really be a miracle.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you know, you get these independents involved, it's a conspiracy all of a sudden, Nick. So, you know,
right.
Crackpots.
You know, guys, I want to tell you something. It is true, and we have to get together one more time, hopefully before Election Day, because there's a lot of things happening. I'm pleading with people to go out and vote. As every one of our listeners has heard a dozen and one time during our broadcast, October the 6th is the last day to register and vote. Please make sure that you do it. Encourage family and friends to do it. If you're up in the 10th congressional district, make sure you give Nick Triano a good consideration, because he sounds like a man that we'll be able to depend on when he's in Congress to make some of those jobs come about.
And Nick, Larkin Connolly again, before you go to bed and when you wake up every morning between now and Election Day, the first Tuesday in November, I want you to say to yourself repeatedly, Eric Cantor, Eric Cantor.
Right.
Keep on repeating it, because as high as that mountain seems to you right now, you really have closed the gap. And this, to me, is what politics in America is all about. I just absolutely love it.
And, Nick, this is Mark Andel. If you pull this off, you win. I'll have to move a Made in America store in your town. Then we'll bring a manufacturing division down, and we'll really get things rolling.
Yeah, you're not that far away. The 10th District is not that far.
No. We love Pennsylvania.
Well, I hate to say it, but it's almost that time, guys. It's really an hour runs away very quickly. I want to thank Larkin Connolly. I want to thank Rich Logis in studio with me, and Mark Andel, Nick Triano, and Mayor Ed Pawlowski. And Mayor Ed, I'm really proud of you. You've done so much, and I'm depending on you to promote November as American Made Month. We're really, really depending on you as a board member of the National Group of Mayors. I'm going to have Larkin talk to you about that when he gets up there to see you. And we'll be waiting to see you here in Philadelphia, as I said.
I promote every month, Mike, is Made in America Month.
Well, this is a month we're really going to try to really get some of our sleeping giants, our industries, to wake up and join the club. You know, we talk so many things that are needed to be done in the past. We need to do this now. Americans need their jobs back. Americans want to be independent. Until we meet again, I want to thank all of you. Dziękuję bardzo. God bless. And thanks, Nick and Mayor Ed and everybody for participating.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good week, guys.